Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. Pleasure to have Phil Simms, 15-year NFL veteran, Super Bowl MVP, Giants quarterback. You younger viewers or listeners might only know him from being an analyst, but he could play. He could go. And he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Phil, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Good to be on the show with you finally. But hope you're doing well. And the other thing is, sorry, choked up this morning talking to you. But the other thing is, the season's over in Houston. So we can relax and move on and see what happens.
Phil, yeah, we don't have to watch Phil, that every week.
I think you know I do NFL draft work, so my season's just starting.
Yeah.
My season just starting. I've got to go find quarterbacks that I think can play for the Houston Texans and, well, for 31 other teams as well. But you talk about relaxing and letting it be over. But, Phil, from the outside looking in, this is an organization who has had 2 one-and-done head coaches. They have had It's been a very dysfunctional front office and ownership situation for a few years now. I think one of the things that you know and understand is that it really does start at the top. And until things are right at the top, whether it's ownership or front office, it's hard to have a sustainable winning product until you have things in place. And the Texans are nowhere close to having things in place.
You know, I don't know what to say to that except I agree with everything. I think it starts with the owner. And it just goes through the whole organization. Of course, the GM, the head coach. You know, I'm a big proponent all the time about this, what you're talking about, Lance. But also, you know, I think coaching is so big in the NFL. I think it's bigger than any other sport. It's not even close what's second. And we see it every year with teams that change coaches. Whatever, and all of a sudden, oh, well, this guy's playing better this year, and he's finally growing. Hey, the coaches have so much to do with that. And just to say for the Houston Texans, 2 years of one-and-done coaches, that's disturbing. It really is. I mean, what can you set and get done when you're taking over a bad football team or a bad football team? And how much are you going to change in that first year? You need a couple years, so that bothers me. And I hope they get it straightened out. And the other thing is, too, Lance, you're right. I can't imagine the work with the quarterback. I'm really interested in it this offseason. Mm-hmm. But that's a good month or two away for me. So I'm
going to take your time and enjoy the NFL season. I will say, though, it's a little lesser quarterback class this year. And now we're not sure what's going on with Tom Brady. We're not sure what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. We're getting ready to maybe lose a couple of veteran quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, who are tier one quarterbacks without question. And if they start to fall out of that, it will be interesting to see if we have the vacuum of talent to step into those roles, because I'm not sure it's coming from this quarterback class. And then you look at the Trevor Lawrence class that everyone was so excited about with Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and obviously Trevor Lawrence. That one hasn't really lived up to the hype yet as well, Phil.
Yeah, probably not. You know,
Zach Wilson.
This quarterback class, I remember during the summer that's coming out, I kind of gave some sneak peeks at everything. And, you know, I follow as much as I can during the season. I love my job because I get to sit home on Saturdays and watch college football all day as I kind of prepare for the next day's show. But I thought overall, all the quarterbacks we're talking about, I thought it the value as far as the quarterback position went down during the year in college football. So it'll really be interesting to see how it's all judged and evaluated for the reasons why. And, you know, I think, too, I got excited about a few guys. Like, just say Richardson. Yeah, I think I said it's Anthony, right, Richardson?
Yep.
So I watched him a few times in Florida, and I just said, wow, he's not ready to go into pro football. But he's coming out. And the one thing I'm learning more and more, and probably didn't give it enough credence before, how much do you play in college? And, you know, experience is a big deal. Playing quarterback, just feeling the pocket, knowing what to do, reading, doing the right thing, all that stuff. And I think the more throws you get in college, the better prepared you are for the pros, that's for sure.
Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. To Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Tua's a little bit different, Geno Smith. These guys win themselves over on their staffs and their fan bases?
In my mind, they did. You know, look, I'm a Geno Smith fan. I saw him here in New York. I've been on a field with him, watched him throw many times. And, you know, the talent, it's the size, he's mobile, he's got a really good arm, throws a beautiful ball, he's got touch, he's competitive. I thought it was a tremendous year for him. I don't know what Seattle's going to do. I'll be very surprised if they don't stay with him at quarterback because he played tough. You know, it kind of fell apart for him at the end of the year, but he hung in there. And I went back this week and watched that 49er game. I think it was week 15, and my gosh, with the 49ers all over him, but he hung in there and competed and moved and made a ton of five-yard tough throws. But, you know, that game, they had a chance, and they did a good job. But Geno, Daniel Jones, I never gave up on him. You know, Lance, guys, John Lance, I'll just say this. When you're big, you can really run. You've got a good arm. I'm not saying it's top-flight power arm, but he is accurate. Spins it, all that stuff. I just see hope there. And Brian Daboll brought it out. And that just goes to show you what coaching, now he's got some experience, it can do. Tua, I'm watching Miami Dolphins film this morning. To say their offense doesn't look the same without Tua, that's the biggest understatement you could ever make. I mean, it's like, wow, they forgot what to call, what to design. And, you know, the other quarterbacks are just not capable of playing like Tua did. That offense was unbelievable for him. He did a great job. So I feel bad for him. I know there's going to be a lot of still question marks about Tua as we go forward, physically, the concussion. But, you know, I think, too, just physically, there's still some issues there. And we'll see how that works out. I missed somebody.
We've got
Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff.
Okay. Jared Goff, when you see me, you can slap me in the back of the head as hard as you want. Because, you know, I was not a huge fan. When the trade happened, I said, wow, what a good deal for the Rams. But, Jared, again, what do you think about Ben Johnson? And I wasn't late to the party about him. I got steamrolled early in the year. I said, look, this Lions offense is one of the best conceived and designed offenses I watch in the NFL. And, man, I got people just crushed me. And I go, well, maybe I'm wrong. But now, as I followed all through the year, I was right. And it was an unbelievable example how to coach a game and what to do, how to close it out. And even Dan Campbell, man, did he grow as a coach. And he's just so connected to the players and everything in the game. It was pretty impressive. But Jared Goff, hey, really, really good job. Protected the ball, threw it well. He threw it better than he ever did in his career. And I never was impressed with him throwing in L.A., but this year, I thought he threw the ball physically really well, made good decision, of course, too.
Shane Steichen over there with Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, you just mentioned, with Ben Johnson, Mike McDaniel with Tua. I know Tua didn't finish the season great, but had a much better season. Of course, some really, really good weapons. We've talked about Andy Reid, of course, with Pat Mahomes in the past. But, Phil, when you look at this, I want to ask you a question philosophically. The Houston Texans are going to be in the hunt for a head coach, and Steichen and Johnson are a couple of names that are going to be mentioned. Would you rather, knowing the importance of having a good quarterback whisperer with a young quarterback, we know about that. You can have that as head coach, or you can have that as offensive coordinator. Would you rather have a head coach that's offensive, you know, that's an offensive-minded guy? Because that guy's still in charge of the entire team, so I wonder if some of his attention would be pulled away from the offensive side. Or would you rather have just the best coordinator you can find and you don't care about in quarterback coach and you don't care as much about having the head coach be an offensive-minded guy if you have a young quarterback?
Yeah, look, I'm not biased, but I think I am. I want the head coach to be an offensive guy if I'm given the preference. One, because he can teach people below him. Look at Brian Daboll. you know, he's the guy in Buffalo. Man, he did a great job up there. He comes down here, he gives the play calling to Mike Kafka. But I guarantee you, Mike Kafka, when the week is over, his ear is burning because he's always getting information from Brian Daboll. I want this, do this, and stuff like that. So, you know, Kevin O'Connell, what he did up in Minnesota, with, not that Kirk Keith had good years before, but you see that. And so I do want that guy. You said Shane Steichen down in Philadelphia. That offense, wow, what a great job they did designing it, how to do it with, and it all fits their quarterback. You know, Jalen Hurts, of course, I had him as the MVP until he got hurt. And, you know, I guess that's going to wipe him out from there. He's not a great thrower of the ball. He's got good numbers and all that. But between the running and the positions they put you in, because of coaching, it elevates his talent too. Or maybe I should just say it allows all this talent to come out. And very, very impressed with what they do. I've told a couple of college coaches who I'm really close to, I said, listen, I'd hate to butt into your business, but go down to Philadelphia, study that offense, and try to duplicate it as much as you can. And that's how much I think of it, how that system can fit so many quarterbacks, especially in college, but also in the pros too. Just, and it, you know, look, Howie Roseman, the talent, it's undeniable. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, even Quez Watkins. Go ahead and play those guys one-on-one. I just say good luck to you. So, been a great job by Shane Steichen.
Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you could have 5 minutes with Zach Wilson, what would you tell him, Phil?
Hey, listen. Here's one thing that I always say. When you come in the NFL as a quarterback, okay, this and that. In the second year, I think, and this is just me, I want to see a difference in you physically throwing the ball. And because when you come to the NFL, it's a whole different game as far as throwing the ball, being perfect with short passes, getting it out of your hands, all these things. I did not see that with Zach Wilson. He's got to make some changes physically. And it's easy to do. People, oh, you can't change your motion. That's the biggest crock in the world. Tiger Woods changed his golf swing 5 times. I didn't hear anybody going, oh, no, you can't change your golf swing. Hey, Trevor Lawrence, I know it's not something that the average fan's going to see, but his motion got tighter, better, more powerful, spinning the ball more accuracy. You know, he could throw with accuracy and power together. And, you know, there were times last year I go, wow, his arm, you know, it's not what I expected. And, you know, I saw some of these flaws when he was in college. In fact, I saw it quite a lot. But, man, I don't know who he throws with or what he did, but he really did change it. It changed his play. And, guys, I'm just saying this. When you're throwing the ball well as an NFL quarterback, you see it, you believe it, and you deliver it. You become a good decision maker when you are controlling that ball because of faith and you see it cleanly. You're not worried about where it's going to go when it comes out of your hand. And that's what I saw from Trevor Lawrence.
Aaron Rodgers tightened his up when he got out of college as well. And then Tom Brady.
A complete change.
And then, you know, I think Tom Brady, when you look at Tom Brady over the years, it's impossible not to recognize the fact that Tom Brady actually improved his velocity over the years. And Joe Burrow is working with the same guy to try to improve his velocity. So you're right, Phil. These things can be changed.
Hey, Joe Burrow. You know, I saw him on the field last year, and I just went, you know, and I saw it on film, and I said to the coaches, man, he's throwing the ball with so much more power. They go, yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's just, you know, on and on. But, yeah, and then go back to Tom Brady. There's a reason why he is still throwing the ball so well. And, listen, I'm just going to tell you, my son, Matt, and me, we teach a lot of quarterbacks. That's all I do basically during the whole off season. I don't know how many. You put a number up there. It's whatever, but Tom Brady is the perfect example of what we teach and what we do. You know, he's good upper body movement, keeps the motion compact. Oh, and you notice he always follows through and gets through it because he's in such a good position, he has no choice. He can't stop it. But, and man, as Bruce Arians once said, and I read this, he didn't tell me, I think I read it. He goes, I've never been around a quarterback that likes to throw as much as Tom Brady. And that says it all. When you can do it over and over and never get sore arms and get fatigued because he's in shape to throw it. He trains to throw. He didn't change his body, which is a big deal. You know, he didn't get try to put on extra weight to get bigger and all that stuff. And it's something to learn from, that's for sure.
Phil,
think more quarterbacks should watch him, try to learn what he's doing, and it'll help their career.
Absolutely. Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you had to put your money on it, who's going to bounce back better, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson?
Well, if I had to put money on it, I'm taking Deshaun Watson just because his movement and stuff like that. He's got a really flexible arm, you know, so he can make all those throws with ease. I will say this. The last couple games of the year, I didn't really watch the last game by Denver real close yet. I probably won't, but I thought it was the best maybe Russell Wilson played all year. It looked like he was free, quit thinking so much, and all, I don't know, just physically looked better, threw it better, moved around even more. So, but Deshaun Watson's the one, you know, he's in the prime of his career, and I think he's another example. You know, he got better throwing the ball, even as a pro, which is what you always want to see. And it'll be interesting. The Cleveland Browns, arguably the best running team in football, if you want to say it, all that. And now they're talking about we need to go to a passing offense in the air raid. I think the owner said that. I'm like, okay. You know, the coach can only teach really what he believes and knows, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there in Cleveland with Deshaun.
Well, especially after what you saw, Deshaun, it wasn't all that good. That's
no, sure. No, it definitely wasn't. You know, everybody kept saying, oh, he's getting better. And I go, really? Is he? I think I saw a little more freedom. He looks like he's a little better in NFL quarterback shape and the games and all that. But, yeah, there were still a lot of tough moments and everything. And, you know, that team is just not built around the quarterback yet. But I'm sure this offseason their main priority, of course, is their quarterback, getting more weapons and trying to make a little better transition to put more focus on Deshaun Watson.
Yep. All right, before you go, who are your favorites coming out of each conference?
Oh gosh, I really haven't even thought about that. I'm so excited about every game. There's not a game up there that doesn't catch my attention for some reason. It's the Philadelphia Eagles in San Francisco that jumps out. I mean, I'm not giving you anything that everybody doesn't talk about. You know, I'm really anxious to see the Buffalo Bills if they can work their way through this and make it to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be really tough, you know, for many reasons. But one will not be because of the quarterback. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I put a lot of time in this week. I don't mean to prolong this. I'm watching Josh Allen. I go, wow, I got to be honest. I've underrated him even now.
Yeah.
The moving, the throws on the run, the big plays. And, of course, we all know what's going to happen in these playoffs with some of these quarterbacks. If they have a bad game, that's all we're going to judge them on. Not the year, who they are, what the team is, why they're there, but we're going to judge them. So these quarterbacks are under a tremendous microscope. And, hey, Justin Herbert, well, we'll just see if he can do it in the playoffs and all these things. I'm anxious to see him play with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, man.
Justin Herbert,
my answer to tell you, and John, you too, of course, is I loved him. I didn't like him coming out. I loved him. And people would ask me, and, you know, I always get beat around a little about this stuff, and I'm wrong all the time, too. I would have taken Justin Herbert. Now, I would have taken him out of the Bengals. I said I thought he was the best. I would have taken him over the other quarterbacks. It's close call. And, yes, Joe Burrow's tremendous, there's no doubt, and all that. But that was just me because it was physical. He's big. He's really mobile. And he's got a power, accuracy, and touch. He's got it all throwing the football. And I think he's proven that. So I hope he plays well. I'm not, like, rooting for them over Jacksonville. But I think I would like to see to see the Chargers move on in these playoffs and see what they can do because they're healthy. And I think the coach has really caught on and managing the team pretty well. So that's just a couple of things I'm looking at.
The mistake I made with and I had a first-round grade on him, and I watched him as a sophomore, and I thought, oh, this is the best quarterback prospect, you know, moving forward. And then I didn't see him get a lot better the next 2 years. But the mistake I made is I saw the flashes. The flashes were like, wow. And then I got too nervous, and I gave him a grade based on the senior tape. And sometimes you need to grade the flashes because the flashes are what they're capable of being. And Justin Herbert did show you that. in college. I tell you, Phil, I know we don't want to keep you much longer, but I swear to you, I will get on a plane and bring my tape and go wherever you are if I could watch some quarterback play with you sometime and tighten up my evaluations of quarterbacks. I would love the opportunity to do that if you ever get the chance.
Well, you know, listen, maybe I'll get down to your area down in Houston, but I would love to do it too. I mean, you know, as you can hear, I got opinions on everything.
But, we all do.
You know, but here's what I do when I'm looking at quarterbacks in the college. I just judge them. And, you know, production and completion percentage and where they took. You know, I'm just not big on all that because Justin Herbert's, their offense was not designed for the quarterback to be the guy.
Right.
And, you know, it was just not a good passing offense. And so I just did put nothing into it. I remember watching the Rose Bowl when he was in it. I just thought, oh, my gosh. You know, at least I was right on that one. And I was right on Joe Burrow. I saw Joe Burrow's and watched him really close after his junior year at LSU. And I said, wow, I really like this guy. I wish he had a little more pep on the ball. But all and then what happens? He gets a better offense. Of course, he had great talent. And then we see it blossom into the guy we see now. And, of course, that was kind of a reach. Not a reach by me, because I got a lot of negative feedback about Justin Herbert, too. I went on a Miami radio station and said, listen, it's not even close in my eyes. I'm taking him over to it.
Yeah.
So Joe Rose is the sports guy down there. I called him the next day. I said, hey, what was the feedback once I got off the radio? He goes, oh, Phil, it was great. They called in and crushed you for 2 hours. And I said, yeah, I figured that was going to happen. That's why I went on with you, just to, you know, to stir it up a little. But, you know, I didn't say anything I didn't believe. And so it was. Those things happen every year with these quarterbacks. And this will be really interesting, too, John and Lance. I'm just interested to see where it falls. Who's the guy that kind of, hey, it's Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, which one's it going to be? You know, so that's the question is now. Will some other guys get in this conversation as they go along in the process? We'll see. But it's good. You know, I hate to say this, too. But, man, when there's quarterbacks coming out in the draft, it just makes the whole draft process more fun.
Oh, yeah.
And, it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But look, we'll keep in touch.
Yep.
And maybe this offseason, you know, if I get down there or whatever, we'll see if we can get together. I can show you some things that I watch and know that will duplicate in the NFL and some things that won't. So,
yeah, would love to. I think the best way to learn to evaluate talent is to talk to people who coach it or have done it.
Yep.
Because they see it in a different way.
At Phil Simms QB on Twitter. Must follow. At Phil Simms QB. Phil, great talking to you. We really appreciate the insight. And have fun watching the playoffs and this offseason teaching kids.
Okay, guys. And, hey, look, good luck down in Houston. You know, I hate for a team that didn't win much. I swear, I think I watched every one of the games this year.
Oh, why? Why?
That is, boy, you just earned some.
Why'd you do that?
You just earned some graces there.
Know, well. Why? Because I'm nosy.
Phil, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Phil Simms right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to you to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, Craig DeCerf, he's nosy too. He's like, what are you driving? What's that? How old is that? Did you know we have a vehicle right now? Did you know we have a Chevy vehicle for you that is going to traverse, that is going to handle great, give you good gas mileage, gives you great safeties, and perform like crazy with all kinds of interior space? Did you know we have the Suburban? Did you know we have the Buick Encore or Enclave? Did you know we have the GMC Acadia or a Sierra 1500 pickup truck? I mean, there's so many different vehicles to choose from. They continue to add more and more on the lot with every passing week as the production begins to finally ramp back up. But the great thing about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is, yes, they're going to find you the best APR finance rates, the best dealer cash back, the cyber cash, $500 red tag sales. They have all these different things going on that you can find at LanceZCars.com. But the main thing I want to tell you is that whether you're looking to purchase or lease, or price points the most important, or your accessories are the most important, Craig DeCerf and his entire staff are going to work tirelessly to make you happy. They don't push you. They don't rush you. They don't hassle you. They don't hustle you. They're simply there to answer questions and help you get what you are looking for. That's the difference out in Angleton. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, number one in customer service index year after year after year, and you spend a second on that lot in Angleton, and you're going to find out why. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:34, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got news of the weird coming your way. We only got this is a pretty quick segment. We kept Phil.
I'll tell you now.
A long time.
Phil Sims likes talking ball.
David said, "Oh, Phil Sims will be here for news of the weird," because he my man Phil
All
Sims
right.
likes to
Let's
talk.
Let's talk a second about
talk some ball.
Desmond Ridder. I want to talk about. I watched every Falcons game. I was like, man, I watched almost every Texans game. I mean, God forbid, I didn't watch every Texans game.
No.
There was a couple where I said, I just, you know what, I'll record it. I'll get through it.
The last game, I was in and out.
Oh, my God. In and out of consciousness
is
what I was in and out of. And that was a close game.
So Tytus Howard talked, and we got some sound from him. Here's Tytus Howard.
This is, okay, prepare to, here's another guy who just, doesn't get it and doesn't even realize he made a mistake here. He stepped in it.
He's our coach. He's coaches. We got to go out and perform. And, you know, as a team, we didn't perform to the highest level this year. We only won 3 games. So, we part following that. And, I think it's everybody as a collective group. And we just got to be better moving forward. It's 2 years in a row. We had a coach fired. So, you know, I think we should, you know, take some ownership in that also.
It was.
So Tytus Howard, he did say this is a football. So he just like Bill
O'Brien. Yeah, no. Do we still have that one? The
I don't
other
think we
Tytus
have that
Howard?
One still. Remember he said
I thought that's what it was.
I know the Astros are winning in championships, but this city goes nuts for the Texans.
I'm like, y'all need to keep the Astros name out your mouth. I mean, seriously. Honestly, O'Brien did it and it was the dumbest thing. Why would Tytus Howard mention, you know, the Astros are winning and that's great, but this city goes crazy over football. How would you know?
Well, this one was pretty good, too, in that he says, you know what? We got to take some responsibility for us losing. You think?
Yeah,
you do. Think you got to take some responsibility as one of the players on the field?
Yeah, you do.
He wants the contract extension. Do you give Tytus Howard a time?
I have to consider it.
Yeah. You absolutely do.
But the number needs to be right. Do you have the sound here? Listen to Tytus Howard. See if you think this is a smart move for anyone from the Texans organization to say ever again.
It's just one message. It's winning culture. We got to win. And, you know, like I said, when I first got here, we was winning. We got to get back to that. You know, this city, you know, breeds football. You know, we got the Astros winning. But it's nothing like when the Texans win.
No, it's nothing like
so
when
we,
the Texans win.
So we can get back to that breeding football.
Just go ahead and delete that whole soundbite. I don't want to ever hear it again. This city, you know, the Astros are winning, but it's nothing like when the Texans are winning. John, you've been here for 2 World Series. Well, for 4 World Series appearances, 2 World Series wins. Actually, you've been here for 5 World Series appearances.
Yep.
2 World Series of wins. You've been here and worked for the Texans when they were at their fevered pitch, when they first came back.
Yeah.
They've been in radio, or they've been in the city for 20 years.
19-10 was a great game.
If you were to say... If I were to make a comment like, you know, the Astros winning, that's great, but it's nothing compared to when the Texans are winning, or but nothing compares to when the Texans are winning. The city really goes crazy to that.
I'll tell you the only thing that was really comparable to the Astros winning. Well, the Rockets, obviously.
Yeah.
The Rockets, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Oilers won 13 in a row.
They've never reached Oilers status.
That
the Texans have never reached Oilers status of excitement.
No, no. That was in 93.
Okay, but what about
that team and the fever pitch?
Okay, now do 11 wins in a row with Bill O'Brien.
It was meh. It was honestly meh.
11 wins in a row.
11 straight wins. And
I don't disagree.
And nobody
but,
cared. And nobody believed in
it. Oh, people cared. No one seemed to believe for sure.
No
reason.
One believed at all. At all. I didn't know one person that thought.
I mean, why would Titus is just, that's just not smart.
But it's nothing like when the Texans win.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's nothing like that. I mean, in my 20 years of following the Texans, when they are winning, it's like the city gets so hyped. They're so on fire for the Texans winning.
I've never seen
that. The Astros, like, yeah, I mean, World Series are cool. But did you see that win over the Titans?
I've never seen a fan base angrier over a win. Have you ever seen any team win and as angry as the fans were?
No.
Maybe the Jets felt that.
Over a win?
Over a win.
The Jets fans had to be pissed about
that. Pissed. They didn't get Trevor Lawrence.
The Jets fans
and
had
the Texans
to be
aren't there's no Trevor Lawrence. And the Texans fans couldn't have been madder about a Texans win. I mean, that's just Titus. Don't do that anymore.
Just don't say it. Just don't say anything about the Astros. Everybody, Rockets, don't say anything.
Nothing.
Don't say, I mean, this is the team that everyone loves. You guys, people hate you. Don't say anything about the team that wins and people like.
There's nothing like when the Texans win.
Stop, Titus.
Stop saying that, Titus.
Now you need to find a remix where you got Bill O'Brien at the breakfast saying, you know.
This is a football town. The Astros are great, but this is a football town. Shut up. Damian Pierce talked about, and see if you agree, 2-3. He says, you know, they were close. The Texans, you know, with their three wins, they were this close.
We were 2-3 plays away a game just from being in a different conversation right now. So it's minimal stuff that can be fixed. But like, it ain't nothing that can't happen. Like you said, the Jazz doing it, so why not us?
So RJ took that and made it into a little ESPN. You know, he tweeted it out, made a little graphic. Tremendous engagement. People were all over that. He's not wrong that a couple of plays could have changed the Charger game. Those plays were stopping touchdown passes to Austin Eckler. But you could have potentially You could have had five
the
wins.
Chiefs game.
Okay, is it a different conversation we have with five wins?
No. No, they still suck.
Would Lovey be here with
five
wins?
It would be a different conversation for me.
You,
I'd love
you would have won money.
Yes.
Would Lovey be here with five wins?
I don't think so.
Would Lovey be here with six wins? If they beat the Colts in the first week,
won the Cowboy game.
And won the Chargers.
Won
game.
The Chiefs game. Chiefs to overtime.
You would not. Lovey would be here with six wins. If you had beaten the Chiefs, you might be here.
He might be here.
Because you have a headline game that you could, because then you have a win over the Titans, the Jags, right? Those are your wins,
but
right?
But this is what we're talking about with Steven Silas, is you've got flashes, and you're playing, look at how you played against playoff teams, and then you throw in a stinker like you did against the Jags? Well, they were a playoff team too. But, I mean, as disinterested as you were in some of those games, that's why you lose your job, because we do see some flashes. And we saw flashes, and unfortunately, you couldn't sustain anything. And that's where Steven Silas is right now. I think he and Lovey are almost in identical situations. Worst teams in the league have been showing some flashes. And that's a bad thing for ownership. We know we can do it. I don't know that this organization can do it, though. I just don't. I don't believe that this right now could do it. Confirmed, pissed off when the Jets beat the Rams as 17.5-point underdogs in 2020 and beat the Browns next week to finish 2-14 and then didn't get Trevor Lawrence. Confirmed. Jets fans were pissed. But I think this fan, I heard some rumblings from Jets fans, but, well, maybe because we're closer to this one. It was unbelievable to me on Sunday the way this fan base reacted to that win. It's one player. There's going to be one player off the board.
The fury.
You can't even lose right.
Well, right.
The incompetence to win a game you got to lose, and to lose games you got to win. And I'm only joking. I'm only having fun with it because of the anger. But I get it. I really do get the.
But to hear the phrase, you can't even lose right, tells you where your organization is.
You can't even
is.
Win right.
Your fans think like you can't even lose the right way. You can't even lose when you need to lose. You're so bad. It tells you where your fan base is.
Oh, look. Carlos, and he's number four. Carlos is number four with the Twins. Yep.
Is that how many teams he negotiated with in the offseason? Is that why he's wearing four? More how many that. Contracts he had?
More than that. How many contracts he had? That's more like it. Four different contracts this offseason. 943 ESPN 97.
Twins are happy, though. I know the players loved Carlos. The fans did.
The Twins.
I wonder if there's any hard feelings, though.
The Twins were like their old girlfriend that are watching him go to this girl and this girl and this girl, and she's still like, you can come back here. You can come back to me. I'm okay with it. And the Twins were waiting there. Did you see the meme about the doctor?
The guy who looks like Dell when he had the mohawk
fake
look.
That he was a fake
He didn't
doctor.
Really look like Dell, but yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Dell to me. He was the fake doctor, and he got away with it for years. That was Carlos's physician that did the physical for him. Or the guy that's standing at the gate and checking people.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah. The old white guy with the goatee, the bigger guy.
Yeah.
And he's not patting anyone down. Yeah, he just barely moves his hands and tells him to go.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, there's that one.
That was Carlos's physical
the Twins
with the
physical,
Twins.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, News of the Weird coming your way right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, we're talking Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
Oh, we are.
You've talked about your nightmare. One of my nightmares that I found out about too late before I knew Aqueduct was having a leaky pipe underneath my slab. What happened was the slab, basically, when you have water that's standing under there and it erodes the... What happens is it'll erode out the over time, it'll erode the soil. And then when you have rain that comes underneath the slab, it stands like in a huge puddle. And then your slab acts as a sponge, basically. So eventually water is going to get through. And if you don't have a water repellent, what happens is it starts to ruin your flooring. And I had that happen, John, and I had to have a repiping done with a different company who, frankly, it wasn't very good what they did. It took forever. They ended up killing off all my grass in the front and backyard because it took them forever to get the job done. It can be a small thing like leaky faucet, but it could be John having a leak in his wall that turns into mold. It could be me with a leak underneath my I didn't have a hydrostatic test done. It can turn into thousands and thousands of dollars worth of work that needs to be done on top of what was already going to need to be
done. Yeah, it's awful.
Aqueduct Plumbing Company can save you from that.
Yeah, and they saved me. They saved me just this week. I'm going through it, but if it wasn't for them, then we wouldn't have had the diagnosis. And they came and they evaluated it. They're unbelievable. So, and then they fixed it. They fixed the pipe that was leaking. It's unbelievable how good they are. 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Lance, Gwen Stefani says she's Japanese. Do you believe her?
Well, I did back in the early 2000s when she had all the Harajuku girls with her. And that was a good look for her. And I'll be honest with you, Holla Back Girl is... It's easy to sit and stare at for a while for everything that's in the video. Just everything. The Harajuku girls, her. So, yeah, I think at one point she identified as Japanese, maybe.
She still says she's Japanese.
So now she's identifying as Japanese.
Yeah, is
now.
It okay to identify as Japanese? I feel like I'm Chinese.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Is that how you identify?
I do because I live next to... Ping or...
You don't anymore, though.
No, so I don't. But I since... did. But she's not instilling her Harajuku.
Can you tell me? Can you read any of it? How she's Japanese? Like, can you tell me what she said? I'm curious about this story now.
She said that was my Japanese influence, and that was a culture that was so rich with tradition, yet so futuristic, with so much attention to art and detail and discipline, and it was fascinating to me. And she said, "What? My God, I'm Japanese and I didn't know it. I am, you know." So she says she's Japanese, yeah. And I say I'm Chinese.
Did not see that.
Okay. I'm also in the black community and the Jewish community, though, too. So
you're in those communities. Right. What does that mean?
That means I'm part of the culture.
And how are you part of the black culture?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. It's you know what? Let's do this, because I like doing this show. Let's just not answer that question. Forget I asked it. What else is happening crazy in the world? Sometimes you just don't ask questions to John if you don't want answers.
Well, I'm pretty sure. A Scottish man checked into the hospital. He didn't know why. He had an unbelievable headache, but all his vitals were fine. His temperature was fine. No blood pressure was fine. They brought in an eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, he has a hangover. And it lasted a month. It's the world's longest hangover.
Couldn't have been.
He drank 60 pints of beer in a period of 4 days.
It's still a long hangover, though.
That's 1 month.
Have you ever seen a hangover
last?
It
is considered to be the longest hangover.
Have you ever seen a hangover last 2 days?
Yes.
Have you ever had one?
Yes.
So you've been hungover 2 days?
Yes.
But you thought you were sick?
No.
You knew you were hungover?
Oh, yeah.
But you weren't hydrated.
It went into the second day.
Where did you live?
I lived in. I think it's happened a few times.
It's important. Have you ever done it in the state of Texas?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But you didn't go to Whataburger, because Whataburger will fix it. It can save your life.
It immediately fixes the hangover.
Yeah, Whataburger will save you. You just told me that you didn't go to Whataburger.
I don't. Yeah. Right. No. I haven't gone to Whataburger for all my hangovers. I'm kind of a big fried chicken guy after a hangover.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Kentucky Fried.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's my go-to.
I hate hangovers.
I know. Hangovers are literally the worst. So what else has happened here in the city? Man, there was a... Have you seen the wild sex scandal in Tennessee with the five police officers have been fired?
Yes, with the one cop's wife?
Yeah.
What are y'all doing out there?
Man, small town police stations.
I know.
Are real. Hey, do you want to star in a Super Bowl ad?
I don't have to pay, do I?
No, you can star in a Doritos new barbecue chip flavor ad. They're looking for people. Do you want to be in a Super Bowl commercial?
No, tell me about it.
Do you want to? Well, you got to try out for it, and I don't know.
What do you have to do?
Can
we get Raheel in it?
Well, you know what? He should be.
He should be.
Right? With wearing his Lululemon, with his triangle.
Could we get
haircut?
One of our listeners? Could Gilbert star in a commercial?
Oh, my God. Would that be awesome?
Can you imagine? Would that make him the happiest ever if he starred in a commercial for the Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh. Gilbert would.
Then he'd ask to be in the next commercial.
Well, only if Jennifer Rayner was in it, too.
You could find somebody over the top who could push in the chips over the top of Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, pretty sure. Oscar Mayer's looking for hot doggers to drive the Wienermobile. Do you want to do that?
No, but I'd like for Mason to get his license and do it.
You think that...
My son.
You think that Mason
would do it.
He's
a total ham, too. He would love to do it. Yeah. You know how other people are embarrassed about stuff or whatever?
No.
He relishes in it.
Remember,
I told you when he challenged... No, Snacks is a little bit gun-shy. He doesn't like that much attention.
Where's a cowboy hat to school?
He has when he thought it was cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he was trying to get attention.
And he wears red suits.
He doesn't wear his cowboy hat to high school now. And here's the other thing. Yeah, and he's actually toned it down. He doesn't dress. Mason, he's the one that challenged George Springer to a water chugging contest in front of everybody.
Yeah.
He's the one that started dancing at Bingo in the Heights when everyone was booing him because he and his friend won bingo. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. He is fearless like that.
Are you proud of your city? It's not a top 10 bedbug infestation city.
Yeah, we've never been known.
You know what is the worst bedbug city in the country?
New York.
No, that's second.
Bedbug San Francisco?
Nope, San Francisco is not on the list.
L.A.
Chicago.
Okay.
Is taking over number one.
I would have got
Chicago's taking over number one. Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Cleveland. Do not go to any
crime
of those cities.
And bedbugs.
The worst. Seattle Public Schools are suing TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook for damaging kids' mental health. Do you feel like your kids are damaged? Their mental health is damaged
because
of TikTok?
Well, their attention span is damaged,
Instagram, and Facebook?
Oh, no. I've caught Snacks. I've looked at Snacks' history. He's been up at 4 a.m. looking at TikTok. Yes.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
When it's school night?
Yeah. No, but school night, the late, I was caught him past 2 a.m. school night.
Oh.
When I looked at his phone, I'm like, you were on TikTok?
Sue him.
My kids fall asleep in the car coming back from school.
I'll sue you. I'll sue you for...
I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind if I could sue social media and make money.
All right, we're done. Paul Gallant is now his fabulous mustache. Our next right here on ESPN 97.
Coming up next, Paul's mustache will take you through the day in sports.
Right, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
And also Paul.
ESPN 97.5.